Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and I'm here with psychic and author Neil Baker. You know, I'm stuck in a rut, Neil, because I say the same thing every time we open the show, but, oh well, it's a little bit of stability for an ever-changing format here in terms of our topics. And we welcome you all back, of course, to our show. And we've got some callers in the queue. We're going to be getting to your calls shortly. First, want to let you know how to stay in touch with us. Following us here on Blog Talk Radio is a good way to stay updated on our show's schedule. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Our iTunes link, where you can listen to our podcast, is also under our Neil Baker Psychic Hour profile. And I guess that's it. Neil, today we're going to be talking about entities attaching to individuals in certain locations. You know, the thing for me is through my interest in spirituality, metaphysics, I really never felt like I was someone who, I mean, I never felt like I had anything attached to me. I don't know if I did, or when you met me, I had any darker spirits, lower entities surrounding me. But I know that some people are more prone than others to picking up energies. So I guess I'll ask you that first. Do I have things attached to me easily?
Well, there's two distinctions, at least two distinctions between the forms of attachment. One is karma, and the content of karma you have attached to you, and so energies and entities that you have been involved with in past lives,
I see,
can be around you. That's not really the idea of an attachment,
right,
that you get in a present lifetime. Those are more of the energies that are derived from past lives. So on a karmic level, you can have attachments to spirits and entities that have derived themselves, that have been derived from a past life content.
Okay, so that's, and these are obviously people that have crossed over and are not in human form, as far as attachments are concerned, or
people who have crossed over.
You're saying spirits.
But spirits too. I mean, if one has had a past life with certain occult energies or demons or called on darker spirits, they can recognize that the soul within the body is back again,
mm-hmm,
and attach themselves to the soul. The karma can take on the personification of an entity, karma itself, so it will feel like you have a spirit around you, and that can be literally a karmic energy. If you've committed terrible offenses in a past life, and the soul of the offending party, if that soul recognizes you're back in the earth, you can be haunted by the soul that is in the astral realm.
Okay.
Now, that's different from what I call these other energy forms that we might call stowaways or freeloaders, wayward souls that are just lingering around, that attach themselves to our presence like a tick would when you go into the meadows and you get a tick or a flea or a parasite of some kind. These lower entities, these freeloaders or stowaways. A stowaway and a freeloader are different. A stowaway uses your energy field to transport themselves from one location to another.
Uh-huh. A freeloader is more like a parasite.
A freeloader will hang on to your energy field and kind of feed off your energy field. Because what's happened is they're not quite ascended from the earth. So even though they may be dead in the physical body, their attachments to the earth are still vital and strong. And those attachments are not healthy. So they left the earth in a very unhealthy way, and they aren't really literally in the earth, so the next thing they can do is attach themselves to a human form and kind of feed off of that, kind of like plankton, of the energy of the person, and cause all kinds of problems and havoc. They're usually pretty easily removed. You know, if you get a tick, you don't have to go into surgery. The clue to getting a tick off your body is you can light a match and blow it out and then touch it to the abdomen of the tick, and they go running out. They can't stand it and run out.
The back of the tick, I think.
The back of the tick. The idea is that they can their head can dislodge from their body, and they can stay in your skin and grow another body after that.
Gross. Okay.
It is gross. Now, the full attachment, detachment of a spirit that would either be a stowaway or a Klingon or a freeloader, you have to kind of get them out completely because they can leave a lingering energy after, even after they're gone. I just today removed a attachment of a freeloader from a client. And I used, there were two angel forms that I used. I used the team of the angel of Michael and a female energy source angel. They don't really have sexes, but they don't. But her name was Angelica. And I used those two to remove
Her name was Angelica?
Yeah.
You never saw them. Sorry, yeah. I'm like feeling like I'm in an alternate universe. You never name angels normally.
I know.
What's going on with us here?
Well,
because I know that you commonly do not say angels have names.
They don't. They really don't. I mean, they do have names. They do have names. If you go to the dictionary of angels, you're going to see tons and tons of names. And they do have names. Or even biblically, they have names.
Right.
So it's not. It's really amiss of me to say that angels don't have names. It's really wrong
but
of me to say.
It's something.
But the purity of an angel, they don't need to be identified.
They're an energy, not a person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We name them energy. Give them names because it's an identifiable tag. But in the element of angelic power, they don't need to have a name. They're an energy source, mm-hmm. and names aren't. You know, they don't have a name with syllables and things like that. But for all general purposes, sometimes in the form of communication, they will have names, and I don't argue with them. If they say, my name is Ella Jenica, I'll say, hey, you guys don't have names. I'm going to argue. And I don't argue with them. If they want to have a name, that's fine. But anyways, these two did, and we escorted one of these entities out of a person's system. Now, this entity, this freeloader, and that's what it was, attached to this person after the person went to a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a really, you know, seedy bar, but it was a bar nonetheless.
And I know you've talked about entities, lower energies, hanging out in places where, you know, like a drugstore, for instance,
yeah.
where there's medications, because they know that the energy fields of those that are going in to places like that might be sick or, mm-hmm. you know, more vulnerable to an attachment.
Yeah.
Or, you know, addict. I mean, those different kinds of scenarios where people have a reduced etheric energy.
Sure. You know, and predators, when they're at the watering hole, they look for the weak animals. They don't look for the strong. If they're going to attack something, they look for the vulnerable. Same with these entities. Now,
hold on just a sec, Neil. I just want to let our callers know because we've had some people come in and drop out. We do talk for 15 minutes, so please be patient. We will get to your calls, but this is the format of our show, so it's not like, you know, dial up an instantaneous reading. Okay, go ahead.
And I think it's worthwhile information for
it
our
is.
Listeners
mm-hmm.
because I've walked into seedy places for whatever reason, I don't know.
Yeah, what were you doing in those CD places?
You know, I used to have a lot of low energy clients, and they would have me go to these places to check them out.
You're kidding?
Yeah.
So I've been
into all kinds of locations
on
a client's request, and it's amazing. When I walk in, I can literally see real people, and I can see spirits, and I can see ghosts, and I can see demons, and all kinds of things. There are different varieties. But I've gone into, not to mention any grocery store names, I've gone into some of our common grocery stores and seen a couple seedy-looking ghosts hanging out. A lot of times people carry them with them, so they just kind of accompany people. It's really weird. There's a movie called Wings of Desire, a Wins Winder film, a German director, and he gave his director's view of how angels linger around us and energies linger around us, and it's very true. They do hang out around us. They can be angels, they can be demons, they can be people who crossed over, but they're there, and when your third eye is activated, it's become a common sight for me, so I just accept it as part of the population of my vision. That when I'm going outside and I see these things, you know, I just have become accustomed to them.
Mm.
But they can linger in anywhere they can be. It's just you get to a degree where you recognize which ones are really bad and which ones are just sort of not so bad, but they're around, and then which ones are blissful. What I do when I see something really dark, I oftentimes call on angels to say, hey, what's going on here? Why don't you get this thing out of here? But sometimes it's just so overpopulated, I don't even spend time dealing with it. I just let it be. But these things can cling to us, and what they do is they a lot of them were human beings, and they can't find that place of transition to get to the other side. These are crude terms, the other side, this realm of transcendence. So they still have issues on the earth. They're not yet back in the earth in a body form to work out their karma, and they may be very stubborn and very obstinate energies, and what they do instead is they want to have their cake and eat it too. They stay in the astral realm, and they feed off of human energy. They're like vampires.
Vampires.
or zombies. And they can't attach to us. They're usually easily removed. Even the vibration of one's voice can help remove it.
Hmm.
I was instructing this client not to put hard emphasis on the syllables of a word. And so you don't want to say compensate. You'd want to say compensate. Because the vibration of the voice will create a soothing energy in the body. And so if you say to it, if you feel like there's an attachment there, you can just say, be gone. And that energy that's filled with content can actually release the energy from your being. If you say it with emphasis, they can actually feed on the intensity of your anger or your frustration, and they like that.
So
you got to be kind of mellow and soothed with the energy.
Are there other things besides, I mean, what can weaken someone's energy that, you know, that makes them more susceptible to these types of entity attachments? Because I think, like I said, for me, I don't think I really had entity attachments where I constantly had things in my environment. I never had that sensation in my life.
No, I never saw that around you. Karma, no. You know, common. We all have karma.
Yeah, we all have karma. But as I, you know, on the other topic, no. So it's always fascinating to me when a client will come in with these types of issues because I personally haven't experienced it. So I'm wondering, you know, what.
You know, a lot of people
you know?
Who have a little bit of knowledge of the psychic world but are in turn inside, they're very insecure and uncertain, they like that because you have an awareness of the other side which
mm-hmm.
alerts them. And then you're very vulnerable because you're not really certain or you're not strong, you don't have a lot of confidence. They can actually get in there. It's like having a nice home and you leave the doors unlocked. And then you kind of put a flag out, hey, you know, my doors are unlocked. Come on in. So to me, one of the things that I learned since I was a little boy was confidence. Confidence in yourself, confidence in your energy, can actually be a deterrent to energies attaching to you. They don't like confidence. They don't care for that.
Okay, go on.
So it's a form of becoming more aware of these energies. And of course, if you have the advantage of looking with your third eye at the outside realms, then you can actually see them. Otherwise, you're going to either sense them or feel them and try to give them some definition through the scrambling of your language to try to decipher what it is around you that you're sensing.
Right, and removing them is not going to occur just by, you know, lighting some sage and waving around the room or using crystals. I mean, that certainly, there's an infusing of energy that can happen within, you know, a tool, but it's really higher spiritual energy that's going to...
Yeah, unfortunately, those... You know, if I have a mosquito around me, I may wave it away with my finger, with my hand, but it doesn't mean it's left the house.
Mm-hmm.
Sage, which I've worked with all of them, those and everything, and I found that nothing really does the job more than a good zap of angelic energy or prayer or meditation that's acutely directed towards the source. You really need that. If I'm going to remove a demon, I usually call on angels.
Okay.
Bottom line.
All right. Well, Neil, I'm going to press pause on this right now and bring on our first caller. So 203, you are first in queue, and for other people waiting, we are going to get to your call, so please be patient because everybody is going to get a reading today. That's in line. Good morning, 203.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Hi, good. Who's this and how are you?
I'm sorry. My name is Soroya.
Oh, yeah. We've spoken with you. Soroya, can you spell your name again for me before? Again.
Sure. Soroya.
Okay, Soroya. And Soroya, what's your birth date, please?
7/9/81.
Okay. And what's going on today, Soroya, 1626?
Well, I'm thankful to be alive today. I had gotten into a car crash on Monday. And I, you know, just listening to this topic, it kind of reminded me about sometimes my mental ideation, because sometimes I think about that, you know, when things go, when a series of events start to take place with me or the happenings, I sometimes wonder, is this karma or is this an attachment, you know? I think the first time that we had spoken, Neil, you was able to say, well, you know, you will have up until 35 until when your karmic debt, I guess, will be paid in full. And, you know, again, like I said, it just brought me back into which way, because sometimes I play the spirit attachment removal CDs, mantras, or, you know, burn the sage, like you said, or even burn out my house with the frankincense and myrrh, you know, just to get a mental clarity, you know, and also, because I know I'm very sensitive to other people's thoughts and energy, so, you know, I definitely constantly do this. This is like my daily ritual, like brushing my teeth, so it's a good topic.
You know, I'm going to hand it over to you in just a sec, but you had mentioned the age of 35, because you're 33 now, right, Soroya?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, at 35, yes, there's a switch into a different phase of your life, but karmic debt, I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, Neil, isn't like completely paid off by the time you reach a certain age. It's, we're always in karma or karma is with us if we live on the planet back because of karma.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to experience karma in some form for our entire lives, but there is something that's resolved, I guess, in the accumulation of karma and, you know, bypassing that age.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. I mean, there'll be a dramatic change at the age of 35, where there's a shift in transcendence that gets to play a higher role in a person's life.
Right.
In the reduction of karma is according to where the person's at in their world. The thing about your energy, Soroya, is, you know, at 33, you escape this near-fatal car accident, and what's happening is that you're 2 years before the age of 35, roughly speaking. Now, what's hidden in your code, if we're going to start to learn about codes and decipher them, is that between 7 and 9 in your month and day, there is a difference of 2. That 2, that's right. That 2 is being applied to the 2 years prior. Now, remember, that 2 is now a number, and it's becoming an energy, and it's applied to the 2 years prior to your first form of transcending. And it's telling you that, karmically speaking, you did die in a previous life at the age of 33.
No, it's like
an episode of a TV series. This time you go through that chapter, but there's now forthcoming episodes going on, so you live through that chapter this time. You go through it like a ghost, but you live through it because you have new energies to deal with while you're still living through your karma. Now, the difference between 7, 8, what's missing? It's a difference of 2, but the number missing is 8. That 8 is in your year, and it's in your master number. So what it does is it almost tells you by code the guarantee that you're not dying yet. You have a 8 energy to fulfill, and because it's in your year form, that means that you've got to get beyond the age of 35 and live for many years thereafter to fulfill your 8th energy, even though when you were a 7 previously, you lost your ability to transcend due to some sort of sexual energy.
And, you know, that's crazy because before the accident, that sexual energy was very heightened, you know, along with my solar plexus was just going off. So I was trying to understand. Again, a lot of the questions are, you're answering a lot of what I've been sitting down and talking to myself about. This is like a daily conversation, you know, because I'm over there wrestling with the numbers in my head, and I'm there looking like, okay, 7, 9, but I was asking myself, so what happened to the 8? I just didn't know how to understand it, so I thank you for making me understand that. Okay.
Good.
Makes sense.
Okay. Soraya, I'm glad you're okay.
Oh, me too. Thank you.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah, God. Really good, because the other car, and it's crazy because the other car is actually messed up. The car that I was in, it barely even shifted. So I know it's just God.
Yeah,
definitely.
God and the wonderful, miraculous, clear, deep definitions of what our code is and our birth date and how it's defined as we start to work out our narratives and explain the mysteries of our life.
Okay. I'm definitely going to have to link up with you personally. Thank you.
For sure. And we thank you so much for your call and for updating us on what's going on in your life. 562-596-7818 is Neil's number. And I always find it fascinating, Neil, how past life events will resonate in our current life. But, I mean, you know, to a lesser degree than perhaps what happened in that previous life. I mean, people don't have any idea that this is what's going on in our planetary journeys.
Yeah.
So
very interesting.
Very, very interesting. Okay, let's bring on our 540 caller. Good morning.
Yes, hello. Hi, this is Eric from Virginia. And
Eric,
my birth date is September 15th, 1975.
Okay, and Eric, is it C or K, Eric?
C.
Okay. 25, 37, 10, 1. And Eric, good morning, good afternoon.
Yes.
What's your question?
Yeah. So my question for Neil is that I'm currently unemployed, and I'm curious what kind of possibilities he might see in terms of employment?
Well, Eric, we're talking some of the agenda about being a psychic is about reading people with cold energy. They like to call that term. You're reading somebody cold and you're coming up spontaneously with energy and you're hoping it's going to be valid and not just lucky guessing. So there's a certain vibrational field in terms of how I interpret a person's behavior and what's going on, aside from the assistance of the code and the birthday number. So not everything is explainable by just simple birthday codes and the psychic energy that you get from that. There's other components to reading a human being. But I will say this, your birth date is a compounded birth date, meaning that the way that we add up your birthday date, it comes to a number that has to be reduced twice in numerology. A 37, that's 3 plus 7, equals 10. We get to a single digit, 1 plus 0 equals 1. So I need to reduce your numbers twice to get to a single digit that stands as your master number of life, which is 1, which is the foundation of the earth, the foundation of the body, the foundation of your life, your home base, the way you're rooted into this planet. And that includes home, job, the basics that establishes our what we call our first initial forms of well-being, our security issues. Now, what's interesting is that even, you're 39 now, so 2 years ago you would have had a change, and even at 10 there might have been a change. Typically, people who have compounded energy, typically, they have experienced a divorce, or their parents have been divorced, or there's been some kind of estrangement or division in the family. I don't know if I've ever spoken to you before, but have you experienced a divorce somewhere within your realm or your parents' realm? Is there a parent missing at this point?
No, my parents are still together, but they have a somewhat rocky relationship, but it's always been that way.
Oh, it's always been that way. So did you grow up in an environment that was a little bit volatile, a little bit aggravating, tension?
Yes.
Yeah. So sometimes what happens to compounded individuals is that if there isn't a direct divorce, that the karma keeps the people together, but it's not a typical Ozzie and Harriet Leave It to Beaver environment. There's tension, friction, and there's strife and what we would call kind of a cold warfare. And so that element is part of your experience. Now, you're born in September, which gives you a very vital, strong sense of energy. Nines at the beginning, these are people who are accountable. They by the essence of the number of the month, there's a form of a degree of authenticity. They're sensitive, they're caring. Your number drops from 9 to 1. That's a drop of 8, which means that you've gone through several hardships. And then it rises again to a 5, which means that you have some form, Eric, of literary tones, writing, artist, artistic, somewhat visionary, spiritual. Do you have, without filling any other details about your life, do you have any talents in the verbal areas, the music, writing, painting, drawing, anything artistically are you inclined?
I think I am good at writing, but I don't do that type of thing very much. But I think I also probably have an innate talent to maybe play music or the piano, but again, I haven't really exercised that. I've been more of a technical person in my life.
Uh-huh.
Like engineering.
Is your technical skills, do they involve themselves in anything creative at by the end of the line there?
Yes. I mean, I think there is a creativity involved in software development, which is what I've done in the past.
So, software development. So that's a form of creativity, not a world I'm real familiar with because I stay away from the computer and things, but my brain is a little bit equipped to understand the concept. So, yes, in that regard, there's a creation energy in you, and I'm sensing that now. And did anything happen about 2 years ago? Did you go through any crisis job-wise then?
Not 2 years ago, and not really job-wise. I mean, I had like a relationship sort of crisis maybe 3 years ago. But 2 years ago, nothing exactly comes to mind from 2 years ago.
Oh, so a relationship crisis. Well, you have a certain element of a two in your energy, too, that's strong, because it's the journey, as we were talking about, Eric, between the numbers of 7 and 5. That's a difference of two, which is going to be an attitude of turmoil in relationships, which I've already demonstrated it derives from your original birthplace of having trouble in the family zone. So you're a man that has had troubling relationships, probably. I know, are you in a fulfilling relationship now?
No, I'm not. I'm single.
Yeah, and that would, I'm implying that's what it is, because I don't feel that in speaking with you that there's any stability right now in a union of sorts. So what we have to do with you is we have to determine how to reattach you to the vital essences of life that are according to your essence, that are according to your transcendence. You see, you have the plug and you have the socket, but you don't have the connection. It's like, there isn't anything wrong with your machinery, it's that it's not plugged in. So there's something that the cord, think of it as a metaphor, Eric, the cord got pulled out of the wall and there's no connection. So there's nothing really wrong.
Yes, I understand.
I'm sorry?
I understand what you're saying.
Thank you. So there's nothing really wrong with the machinery. So we got to get it plugged in. Now, that, how do we plug that in? That's an investigation, is to determine what isn't happening in your world, which could amount to anything from your own, the construction and chemistry of your brain and how you're formulating your thoughts that are going out into the energy field, to something that may be karmic that has to be resolved. I'm not sure what that is. It would take an ample amount of time to go into that and try to decide what it is. But what I've diagnosed about you is that there's something that's not attaching. We were talking about attaching before in the reading, but that was about spirits attaching to us. This is about you getting plugged in to your talents and the thing you're supposed to do. Something's wrong there. Just real briefly, has anybody crossed over in the past 5 years that was somewhat important to you? Any human beings crossed over in the last 5 years?
My grandmother did. I did Reiki on her for several days in the hospital. She died of cancer.
Ah, okay, so in an elongated conversation, I would start to explore that energy and figure out where we can derive substance from that experience and maybe get you re-plugged in. I'm not sure how the associations would work yet, because that would take some demand on my time. But that would be, I would advise you to start to explore your connection to her, because you had a vital Reiki connection with her before she died of cancer, and you need to explore that a little bit to understand the elements of what has caused this detachment.
All right.
That would be my suggestion, and I would encourage you, Eric, to investigate it at least in your own private thoughts, and maybe have a conversation with your grandmother and see if there can be any insight derived from conversing with her. You just talk
all
it
right
out, feel it out. Otherwise, you can seek counsel.
Okay.
All right, Eric. 562-596-7818 is Neil's number. You can reach him directly there. You can also join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Blog Talk Radio. Okay. I am just looking at the caller order here, making sure everyone is in the correct order. Okay, we're going to take 804. We've got three callers. Liz, hi.
Hello. How are you guys doing today?
She's 2911 too. We're doing fine. Thanks, Liz. How are you?
Pretty good. I was calling to see if you could connect or communicate at all with my sister. I just really, really miss her. And she was like a guardian angel for me my whole life. And I just really miss, you know, having that.
The connection. You missed the connection with her.
Sure.
Well,
yeah. We have her birthday, and I know you may have given it to us before, but let's get that. And her name?
Abby.
Uh-huh.
Abigail. And her birthday is December 13th, 1981.
Okay. Gosh, you guys are really close in age.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember a time without her.
Close in age and only one separation of a master number.
Yeah. Wait.
Oh, what am I? Sorry. Did I do this right?
I didn't add it up, so I wasn't 28, 10, 1. Okay. 17 plus 9.
Wait a minute. 3, 5, 6, 7, 7.
Plus 9. 26, 8. 26, actually, a
okay,
3 separation and a master number. I hadn't added. All right.
Okay. Well, Liz, first of all, where how do you share any experience of a dog with her? Any dogs anywhere in the world between the two of you?
Not a particular, a specific dog or animal. She did love animals and children. And I love animals.
She loved animals.
What's that?
She loved animals. I get that part. Did she ever own a dog?
Growing up together, we had lots of dogs, but they were all outside dogs. Like they weren't indoor dogs.
Did any of them smoke pipes and have a bathroom? I mean, I don't really care if they were outside, whether they're inside or outside. That's not the.
What I'm trying to say is that she couldn't claim, you know, an animal as hers because she couldn't talk.
She couldn't talk?
Yes.
She was
mute or deaf?
No, she had CP, cerebral palsy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask when she died, just to get that down, the year?
It's 2011 in April. April 19th, actually.
That was 4 years past.
April 19th?
Yeah.
2011?
That's interesting. It's like 4 years past her karma.
That's an 18. That number comes to 18, which is her inverted year of 81. And I understand that she had a problem in speaking and a crippling ailment. The attitude here is that I would imagine, I understand your difficulty in trying to define how a dog fits into her life, so I get that part. Was she always confined at home? Did she have that dependency? Yeah.
Oh,
well,
complete and total dependency her whole life, yeah. Wheelchair bound and everything.
Now, was she able to communicate through any other method of instruments or anything?
Yes. We could understand her. The people in my family could, it wasn't hard for us to understand her. She could vocalize, but she couldn't make words. And so she would vocalize. She would, you know, use her voice to make noise and sing. And we could tell if she was happy or upset or any of those things.
Mm-hmm. And so, number one, I know she loved animals. You're explaining that to me, and I understand her limitations in interacting with animals. But there's something about an animal element that she's sharing with me. Now, I would have to go further into a more in-depth examination of this, Liz, but I would, in terms of relaying a message to you, there's first of all, there's an animal linkage, and I don't know yet quite what that is coming from your sister, but there is a certain animal linkage. Let me ask you something. Any dog bites, any dramatic episodes with animals in terms of fatalities or dramas that you recall?
Our youngest sister was bitten by a dog many years ago when she was young, when she was little. Mm-hmm. And that would be both of our sister, you know.
Yeah.
Our youngest sister, so.
Was your sister Abby aware of that episode? Would she have been aware of it?
I would think that she would have been. Yeah, she was very, very awake.
Okay,
and very aware of everything that was going on at all times.
Liz, as I'm starting to formulate a dialogue, I'm discovering that Abby is trying to attach to me and tell me that episode about the dog and the dog bite. Now, maybe Abby is trying to read my energy and deciphering how's the best way to communicate with Neil, what vibration might he perceive. And so I'm coming up with vibration, which is the beginning of a dialogue. There also seems to be a pond or a small body of water. Was there anything like that around the house or anything like that in the family activities?
At my uncle's house, which was a really special time, he had a big pond out in his yard. So I would think it would be that.
Yeah,
she was
so
there.
She's now collecting in my dialogue with her, she's collecting a little bit of various degrees of objects and thoughts and events that they're starting to build a dialogue. And so she's also to the pond. Not everybody has a pond in their backyard. So she's trying to reach out to you by giving you signals that she's here and by the illusion of these objects and words, letting you know I'm here, I love you, and this is the beginning of what we would call a conversation from the other side.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
All right, Liz.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Let's bring on our next caller, Neil. 856 and then 786. This is Rosa Maria, 123174. Hi.
Hi, how are you guys? I haven't talked to you for a little bit now.
Who is this?
Rosa Maria.
Rosa Maria.
What's going on?
Not much. A lot of it's going on, especially this past week. Going a little hectic right now with my life. Trying to get myself well. So whatever you can pick up or timeline for me, like still doing the job thing. I'm getting a lot of interviews, but like no hits and other things that I'm not getting answered on. Whatever you can pick up.
I'm sorry, say that again. You said, what did you say?
Yes.
Child thing?
Like a lot of interviews, not any hits, like on job-wise, like to start working. That's what I mean.
And you're in like defense, that's your area of work, right? You're a private contractor or something like that?
Right.
Okay, and you're not working at all right now? Are you completely out of work?
Still looking, yes. All right. Not getting answers to my questions and stuff like that. Whatever you can pick up, my timeline.
Right, 12/31/74. Is that your birthday?
Right.
I thought you said child thing.
I
thought you said something about a child. Did you mention something about a child, Rosa Maria?
No.
She was just, I know it sounded like it.
It sounded like a child thing I was getting.
You don't have any children or anything, right?
No. I sound like a kid, no.
You're having trouble getting work in terms of defense contracting, contractor.
Right.
Let's see, you're born in 74, and you're not quite, right now as we speak, you are 39 years old. Well. I think that was a slip of the tongue. Let me see what I can do with you here. Do you know anyone with children?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go over to the person you know with children. What's your connection to these people? But don't mention names. We've got to keep the privacy secure.
I have a couple of friends with kids and then some cousins, family members.
Do any of those friends with children, to your knowledge, are any of them going through any turmoil that they've shared with you?
They're going through turmoil, but they have nephews.
Yeah. And do they spend any time sharing their experiences with you, talking about it?
Right now, we're in both different countries right now. We haven't talked or spoke by voice yet or seen each other in 5 months.
Okay, well, that's a lead-in. I think what's happening in your term, the discussion of you trying to find work and experiencing a block, is there something in your energy field, Rosa Maria, that is clogging up the system? Imagine it's like smog obstructing the sun or the sky or the skyline. You have something in your energy field that's obstructing your ability to connect to you, to the vital nature of what the kind of employment you're supposed to do. And it has something to do with a buildup of energy that that might be a result of stagnation. It might be a result of stagnation mixed with you taking on the sounds of people in trouble. So you're collecting that energy and it's piling itself.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Cool.
Yeah. So what you've got to do, in my world, I would say, you've got to clear the energy. First of all, if we're aware that our energy fields are clogged with this kind of turmoil and frustration and stagnation, that's also comprised of people giving us their problems, you got to say, oh, God, I got to clear this out. So how do you clear it out? In nature, it's a rain. The rain will clear away the smog. The wind will clear away the smog. You got to ask for the natural resources of the astral realm to clear your system. You can do that through visualization. You can do that through angel sweeping. You can do that through the idea that you're visualizing a rain, a beautiful, crisp, clean rain falling down upon your astral realm, which is the realm around you, and just the wind carrying it all away, and all you see, if anything, is blue sky and white clouds, the white, perfect clouds that accompany a blue sky. That might help to clear out the first phase of your cluttered energy, which might give you some outlet to find that reachable position of employment. If that doesn't work, you have to go deeper into the essence of causing a barrier in your astral realm.
Okay, Rosa Maria, well, that's a lot of information to process. Hopefully.
Gotcha. So, like, visualization, like, picture it clear all energy out, like the blue sky. Glad, yeah.
Yeah, use that one, Rosa Maria, and let's see if that works. That's the first stage, the first economical stage you can attempt easy on yourself.
Yeah, because I don't know why I'm picking up his energy. That he's in the, I know he's in a turmoil right now. I guess I'm picking up his energy. I take it.
Yeah.
Do you have like a time frame that's going to clear out by any chance?
You're empathic.
I'm sorry.
So
what did you say?
Do you have any time frame when that's going to clear up for me or?
It could clear up within a week. It could clear up within a week.
It depends on how you apply the information that Neil's given to you. So it's really
depends on my mind out.
Lines,
positive.
You know,
gotcha.
I mean, sometimes
cool.
But it also depends on the creative energy of the subject.
Yeah, we have we're living forms that we have a miraculous ability to heal ourselves, clear ourselves. We have a miraculous ability, unless there's a certain density of karma or some other confusion that's going on, and then you know you have to call in a plumber. But we have this capacity to clear our energy fields. Thank God, and that's the first thing I would do. I try to attempt that, Rosa Maria.
Okay, and we're going to move on to our next caller, Neil. But before I do that, I will call out your phone number, 562-596-7818. All righty. And this is our last caller, 786. And this is, I believe, Samantha?
Yes. Hello. How are you guys?
Good. How are you? 321-88. And, you know, it's weird, Neil, because every single caller, with the exception of our first, Soraya, are compounded energies. 29-11-2, 37-10, 28-10, and 29-11-2. It's been like, and last show was like that too. We had a lot of 11s going on. So, oh, did I add something wrong?
Is this a 32-5?
Did I add something wrong? Samantha, what's your birth date again? 3-4-5-6-16?
3-21-88.
What am I doing? Well, scratch that last statement. You know what I did is I copied the information from a previous note I'd made. And I must have copied someone else's, so I didn't actually do the math. I just wrote it down. So, okay, with the exception of with the exception of Samantha and Soraya, all of our callers have been compounded. But we do have an 11.
32-5.
And we do have an 11 with the 8-3, of course. 2-8-3, 8-3, and 8-3. What's going on, Samantha?
Well, I mean, I was hoping you guys could shed a little light on that. Right now, I'm just waiting. I'm applying to a lot of different jobs, and I'm waiting to hear from one job in particular that I really want. It's at a university, and I'm over the moon about getting it, and I think I may, but that's all spirit and, you know, God, so I can't put so much into that because I know after I'm done with what I have to do, it's all up to them, and I guess life in general, I'm feeling very optimistic about career, hoping that a good person is going to come into my life. So I'm just really optimistic, just seeing what you guys feel, because I feel good about it.
if I can jump over the moon, I'm sure Samantha can. a job at a university. You've got a strong verbal energy going on, which is a 5. Your karmic number is 32, which is also correlates to your first two numbers of your birth date. You're 26 years old, so you're still in a form of 6 years of karma. But because we've got such strong energies going on in your month and day, that one's going to be confusion along with the 2. You want a job at a university in administration? What do you want to do in a university?
Yes, the job is in the administration field. It's like a financial aid processor, so all that paperwork the students would bring in, I would put it in, input it into the system, make files on all of that, and make sure all the information is correct and everything matches up, and then I send it out to the IRS and the U.S. government, and then they will, I guess, notify me back when things are processing, things are going along.
Was your last form of employment, did it last at least 2 years?
Well, that was the job that I had in 2011, and I ended that in 2012. The last position I held was at a school, being an after-school coordinator, and I wanted to make it last, but financially, it really wasn't paying me enough, so I left that one for this job that I have currently. That's at a department store.
Okay, well, that's a fairly good sign about the 2011 to 2012. I had to find a 2-year zone in there, and then you had a little bit of trouble after that. Let's see. Did you ever know anybody named Virginia or anybody with a V in their name? Any V?
Virginia. Maybe Victor. I think when I worked at another department store, I believe there is a person named Victor there.
Okay. Well, I know that these names are a little bit obscure and they don't mean much to you, but I'm going to try to correlate Victor, which was a name in your employment world, to a connection to the employment world that you're now seeking at the university. So the best thing I can do for you with our limited amount of time left, which is just but a few minutes, is I'm going to try to utilize a form of energy to connect you to the university to where you can maybe get a job, because from my understanding is you're waiting to get a response from them. That's still an option for you there?
Yes, I'm hoping so. I've applied to a lot of different jobs at that particular university, but I've interviewed for only that position, and I really felt like I connected with the interviewers, and I think that they really liked me, and I'm hoping that, you know, they can find me very useful in that school.
Well, I'm trying my best in a vibrational sense to help you over the radio. Let me ask you a funny little question. Are you wearing any necklace as we speak? Anything around your neck?
No, but I actually have I forgot what stone it is. It's a green stone, and I believe it helps with luck or something. That necklace in my purse that I always carry with me.
Oh, that's it. Wear it around your neck today. Keep it closer to your energy. You know, I'm not real big on talismen and objects. You know, I think we have to rely on a deeper sense of energy than just a rock or a crystal or whatever. I identify with the properties of these things, and I've worked with them quite often, in fact. But I think in your reading today, I'm going to encourage you to put that necklace around your neck, because you did signify to me, yes, I do have such a necklace with a stone, and it is in my purse. And so with that validation at hand, I'm going to suggest you wear it around your neck. And let's see from that if we can get maybe a connection with the job zone going on. Sometimes the properties of being in the psychic realm does involve a little bit of object, that, you know, it just is a little bit of magical object stuff that sometimes occurs when we're trying to solve a problem.
Yes.
So put that necklace on. And let's see if that helps a little bit. What kind of stone was that?
Oh, yeah. I honestly forgot. It was a gift. And it's green, like a forest green with like one orange speck. I really forget. I wish I knew the name exactly, but it was gift. I didn't.
That's okay. We got the green. We got the heart chakra, and we got a lower two chakra, which is important. So we're fine. Just put that necklace on.
All right, Samantha.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you for your call.
All right,
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. 562-596-7818 is Neil's number. I'm thinking of what that green stone might be. Or jade. I don't know if jade would have orange in it, though.
Probably not. I mean, she got it as a gift. I don't know.
Well, it sounds pretty in any case. But we are out of time, Neil. So we got everybody in, which is nice. And we are back on the air on Monday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. We will see you next week.